Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Greetings and welcome inside the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Oh!
Where it looks like, and I say looks like because they've made it a little bit closer. Right now, the Eastern Conference semis between the Sixers and the Hawks looks like it's going to go the Sixers' way, but Atlanta's cut that lead from 20 down to 13, still 5 minutes left to go. It is 110 to 97. Joel Embiid just landed awkward, coming back down. Remember, he's playing hurt. He's got 21 tonight. It's been a big night for the Sixers across the board. Meanwhile, Trae Young trying to shoot the Hawks right back into this. He's got 23. But I'll tell you, Mike, this is one of those games where I thought, okay, it's going to be a laugh all the way to the end. Here come the Hawks. Embiid is dinged up a little bit, and suddenly this last 5 minutes might be a little interesting.
5-point game at the half, and then a quick explosion. 4.5 minutes into the third, you go from 5 to 16. It's like, okay, you had your run. Good job, good effort. But you're still rolling along. And as you said, Joel Embiid goes down to the court. Anytime he falls, you get nervous. Right, anytime a big guy doesn't fall of his own accord and takes a little bump, and they were looking at whether there was a flagrant and hostile act, is the phrase du jour in the NBA. It's like, hey, guys are going for a rebound, and he accidentally hit him with an elbow. Was it a hostile act? Did he mean to elbow him, or was it just two guys jostling for the ball? Either way, we'll get the review. But to your point, it looked like it was going to be a laugher coming out of that third quarter. 34-19, Philly outscores them, everybody contributing. You're talking about six guys in double figures already. All down on the bench, some great contributions, but chipping away, slowing the game down, somehow finding a way to at least get it to where you got to sweat. Because there was a moment maybe 5 minutes ago, I'm like, why is Embiid still in the game? And then, well, they go on a mini run, and here we go.
Now you know why he's still in the game. Oh, now I get it. Now I get why he's still in the game.
Well, when it's hanging around 20 and you got a guy with the meniscus, which is always the, all right, what's the pain threshold? How long is he going to be able to play on this? Can you steal a minute or two here and there? And then you have that bump where he goes to the court like, no! now we watch to see if they can grind it out and finish this.
The thing about Joel Embiid, right? Obviously, look, you said he's playing with the bad meniscus. I got a bad meniscus. Yeah, I got a bad meniscus. He's playing with this injury, and it's almost like at this point, I feel like watching him is like when I feel like watching Clayton Kershaw pitch when Kershaw's in his heyday. Because of his back problems, it could go out at any time. You hold your breath every time he pitches. You know, the Dodgers hold their breath every time he pitches.
And I kind of feel Mets that will. Way.
You know, yeah, well, we'll get to DeGrom in a minute. We'll get to DeGrom in a minute. Okay, we'll get to DeGrom in a minute because I think everything is fine. But Embiid is like that now, is that, boy, when he's out there, you hold your breath. Can he make it? Because if he's there and he's healthy, he has become as dominant a player as there is in the NBA. I mean, he figured out this season, and that was his time to say, you know what, this is, I'm taking that next step, and he has. But clearly, big men, they are more prone to injury. And Embiid, you know, this going down in the heap right there, this wasn't that bad a deal. I mean, he's driving to the hoop, he got fouled, and he kind of fell. I mean,
well, you got guys, yeah, exactly, just get, you know, banging shoes and losing your footing and down you go like a, you know, house of bricks.
Yeah, this wasn't something where, oh, you know, hey, you know, this wasn't a Devin Booker slamming into Dennis Schroeder going up for a layup when he's up in the air. This was just he drives the ball and he goes down. And I kind of feel that way. I'm like, I hold my breath every time for Embiid because, he, you know, playing with an injury like this, not to say that it's going to be like Kevin Durant, but we all thought Kevin Durant, oh, yeah, no, he's got a bit of a calf strain. He's going to be fine. And the next thing you know, boom, blown Achilles and the guy's out for a season and a half. And we don't see him for a long time. And that's kind of where I am with Joel Embiid. I'm like, okay, every game, it's, you know, you're watching, it's like, boy, Embiid is great, but this time down the floor, ooh, I just saw him go in. Ooh, he just went up for a rebound. Ooh, he just went. Ooh, get up. That's kind of what it is for Embiid right now. It's like when I was watching Kershaw in his heyday, where every time he could be going through, hey, 10 strikeouts through five. Oh, wait, he's got to come out. Something's wrong with his back. He's out. 48 pitches. That's it for him. And that's kind of where I'm at with Embiid.
Yeah, it's like whenever we're getting ready to preview big games in the NFL, you and I, as you get into the playoffs and certainly Super Bowls, you know, Brady comes to mind first, but there's always that it's football. You don't know when the last time you're going to see a guy is. And with Embiid for this particular season, that's certainly been the case. The fact that he's logged as many, he's at 32 minutes tonight, as logged as much time on the court as he has, and he's running the floor well, all of that. I'm like, he's got a ridiculously high pain threshold. There's just in the PR spin of like, let's just tell everybody he's hurt. Which I don't think is the case, but hey, you know what? We've got bloody sock theories and all those other things that, you know, are part of sports lore. But 22-9-7, only 5 of 11 from the field, but 11 of 15 from the foul line, getting it done. And it's just fun watching him come into his own, right? Because a couple of years ago, it was the potential. Obviously missed those first couple of years as he came into the league, but potential, and then he was kind of a goofy guy that loved being in front of the cameras. I love all the stuff with Triple H and just embracing his D-Generation X and all of that, and he's backing it up and then some. So congratulations. I know the new star is born, or at least the spotlight turns to him for a little bit.
So we'll keep you updated here. Embiid at the free throw line right now for the Sixers. It is 115-100 with about 3.5 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. So the Hawks jumping in on this. This really hasn't worked out in the last couple of minutes. The Sixers have been able to maintain their lead, and now time is getting really short for Atlanta. So meanwhile, as you mentioned this, as this is going on right now, you mentioned Jacob DeGrom. And right now, Jacob DeGrom, you know, there's incredible news for DeGrom, and then there's, oh my goodness, I'm holding my breath. DeGrom for the Mets tonight pitched 6 innings against the Padres, allowing 1 hit. All right, now this is DeGrom, and so far I don't think anybody found anything illegal that DeGrom was doing. I think he had a pretty clean night as far as throwing the baseball.
It's still going to be out there, buddy.
If I was DeGrom, I would just go out there and touch every part of my body like Gaylord Perry used to do. I would touch my hat, and I would touch my side. I would just touch every part of my body, go, yeah, here's what I'm doing. I got stuff right.
How many times did people text you the touch to the belt gift today?
I got one. I couldn't even tell what it was because a friend of mine zoomed it in so tight that it's just like the hand on the belt. I'm like, what the hell is this? Oh, this is the DeGrom pick with the hand on the belt. Okay, I get it. So DeGrom lowers his ERA tonight to 0.56.
Yeah.
Okay. You look at DeGrom compared to anybody else that's having a great year. Hey, what's their ERA? 1.9. You're getting lit up all over the yard, man. Come on, 1.9. That's terrible. His ERA is down to 0.56. Now, here's the incredible part, and then here's the ugly reality that just happened. DeGrom this year, now, you know, stats come and go, and you hear a stat, sometimes it goes in one ear, it's a lot of stats. But here's the deal for DeGrom this year. It is June 11th. Okay, it's not middle of April. This is June 11th. We are over 2.5 months into the season. Jacob DeGrom has allowed 4 earned runs. Mm-hmm. He has 5 RBI. Just think about that for a second. A starting pitcher, he's got more RBIs than earned runs allowed.
Yeah.
5 RBIs. He had a 2-run single tonight, again, because he always has to do it all himself. 2-run single tonight, and he's got 5 RBIs, and he's given up 4 earned runs. I mean, that is a stat that's just insane. I mean, that's when you go, wait, no, there's no way that's right. No, that's absolutely correct. That's it.
Well,
5 RBIs, 4 earned runs for DeGrom.
Well, and as you talked about, stats and look, some are unofficial, right? When you get into tackles in the National Football League, you get a little bit of home cooking. You were near the pile. You're supposed to be our top guy. Here's a half tackle. Why? Because you helped someone off or you touched the back of a guy as he went down to the ground. RBI became an official stat in 1920. Jacob DeGrom, according to a couple of baseball insiders that put this one out, first to have more RBI than earned runs allowed in a 10-start period.
Mm.
1920. 100 years. Like we say, right? Who was it? That Jason Stark, right? Every night you're going to see something you've never seen before. And now, as for the flexor tendonitis, it's the swelling of the tendons that bends the fingers. Flexor tendonitis, also called trigger finger.
He's got trigger finger. Yes, Jacob DeGrom leaving tonight's game after 6 innings and 80 pitches with flexor tendonitis in his right arm.
Want me to go even further?
Now, I'm at that. Well, hang on, because now I'm at that point, like Sixers fans are with Joel Embiid. Like I'm like, every time DeGrom goes out there, is he okay? Is he okay? Is he okay? Okay, because this is not something that is serious. This is something that had happened. You rest. Maybe they push a start back for him, but that's all right. This is that kind of injury. Guys have actually pitched with this for most of the season. Some other guys that have had this before. So this is not something that it's a precursor this or that. This is just something that happens. And I'm sticking with it. Everything's going to be okay because the other outcome, I can't even think about it. I can't even think about it. The guy's going to wind up being MVP in the National League. Doesn't matter. A guy can hit 50 home runs, not get 150 runs. If DeGrom's ERA is 0.4 and he has more RBIs than earned runs, he's going to win the MVP in the National League too. So it's going to happen.
No, that's good. I was looking at the American Society for Surgery of the Hand and how they discuss this. Flexor tendon injuries do not heal by themselves, frequently require surgery to put the injured tendon back to its normal position. So you got.
Why do you
got
to tell me that?
Funny.
Why do you got to?
Because I've got to be a realist.
You're telling people
that are banking on him for fantasy and betting purposes that he may miss one start and have one start pushed back, and I've got to be the voice of reason, going, "Well, I read a couple of quick notes here that says maybe that's not quite so."
You know. Here's the thing: the internet is dangerous for you, okay? Because I'm looking, I'm looking at DeGrom's surgery on Twitter right now. Here's what people go: I googled it, and this means surgery or 2 months of rest. Okay, I googled this; it could be Tommy John surgery. I googled this; it could take 12 weeks to completely heal. It's follow all the advice to avoid rupturing your tendon. I mean, okay,
it's a precursor to growing a second head. I don't know. You look on the internet; you can find anything.
All right. In worst case scenarios, yes, you can find this, but the internet is dangerous. All right. Right now, this is what it is. That's what it is. Let's just realize that that's all.
He might have his own personal rainbow that is over him right now as he walks about, and sprinkles are falling from the sky.
All right. Don't just look at the internet and go, "Oh, that's what's going to happen right here." Okay. Okay. It's like when you go to WebMD.com and you go, "Well, I'll find out because WebMD.com.
I got all sorts of problems."
Oh, great. Oh, my goodness. I might not survive the next 5 minutes. Oh, my goodness. I mean, really, the internet. Okay, let's just wait and see. All right. Let's just wait and see. All right. Let's just wait and see. But of course, it's going to be crazy on social media. People are going to think it's awful and it's the worst thing in the world. Let's just wait and see. We'll just wait and see what's at. And then we'll go on from there. The Mets won tonight. It's okay. You know, DeGrom gets the win. Again, ERA is low. All these things are happening. Okay. Okay. But don't start throwing around words like surgery and throw that out in the air because it could be fine. All right? Because I don't want that to suddenly happen where the Mets go.
Don't put that into the universe. I get it.
You know, at 7:12 p.m. Pacific time, DeGrom was fine. He was flexing his hand. It was all good. He goes, "Skip, I can make my next start." Then at 7:13, he goes, "Oh, my hand. Oh, it's bleeding. It's turning purple. I need it cut open. I may have to lose it. I may have to lose some face." I mean, you put it out there in the universe, and if it happens, I'm coming to your house, and I'm taking it out. I'm taking it out on you. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm going to do something.
Are you going to key my car?
No, I'll do more than that. You know what I was watching tonight was today was the opening scene of Red when Bruce Willis's house. They all come with the machine guns, and there's like 50 machine guns, and they just like basically shoot the house down.
Yes.
they just shoot walls down, and I'm like, "Oh my God, these are like the biggest guns in the world." And then they go, and of course, you know, Bruce Willis is there, and he kills it. Sorry, spoiler alert, but Red's been out a while.
For those unaware.
I think that they're already dead one, right? They're doing another one, right? Red 3?
Yeah, Red 3 is in production, or at least in pre-production.
And if they get to Red 5, it's a Star Wars one.
Oh,
they actually
good.
Fly X-Wings. Yeah, that's how it goes. Red 5. Don't tell them.
That would be next level. Helen Mirren flying around in X-Wing.
I would like to see Helen Mirren flying an X-Wing. I think I'd like to see that.
Why not?
I think I'd like to see Helen Mirren flying an X-Wing. I think I would.
Let's speak that into existence.
Let's speak that into existence, but not, you know, surgery and this and that. Let's just be okay.
I'm just trying to give the people the wide breadth and scope and put my arms around it. Look, everybody needs a hug. If you love yourself some Jacob DeGrom.
I'm Mike Harmon. I'm here to give you the worst case scenario for every scenario in the world. Hey, you could die tonight, but so if
well,
you do,
true.
Boy, that would stink. But you're probably not. I mean, the odds are probably not. I mean, let me throw it out there. Here's the awful thing: you could lose all your money tonight. Whoa, really? Yes, you could. Yeah, you could lose all your money. I mean, maybe not, but you could lose all your money tonight. Oh, okay, all right. It's a worst case scenario. Jeez, you know. If that happens, though, I mean it. I'm holding you responsible.
Just have a wheel of cheese, and that'll distract you.
AutoZone has more ways. Wait, a wheel of cheese? What? AutoZone has more ways for you to start your job your way. That means getting what you need fast. Some jobs can't wait, and that's why AutoZone offers free same-day store pickup. With their free same-day store pickup, you can order online and pick it up today at more than 5,600 AutoZone locations. Some jobs can wait, and that's why AutoZone offers free next-day delivery on orders over $35. Free next-day delivery is available on over 100,000 parts, so visit AutoZone.com today to start your job fast. Get in the zone. AutoZone. Less than a minute to go. Philly is going to take a 2-1 lead over the Atlanta Hawks. We got the big nightcap coming up in a few minutes, but straight ahead. Are things really okay with Russell Wilson and the Seahawks? Are the Packers really okay with Jordan Love? We get into some of the biggest stories of the NFL coming up next right here, Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Today's Friday.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Oh!
Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year. It's amazing because Discover's accepted at 99% of places in the U.S. to take credit cards. Learn more at discover.com/yes. That's discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen Report limitations. They do apply. Well, in the NBA, it looked like it was going to get close at the end, and then it didn't. The Sixers pull away from the Hawks 127-111. Joel Embiid, 27 points. Couple of crazy falls, but it looked like Embiid was okay finishing out the game. They now take a 2-1 lead in that series. Trae Young with 28 points for the Hawks. And, well, it's pretty clear, you know, breaking this game down. What happened to the Hawks? Well, when you shoot well and you are known as being a shooting team with a lot of firepower, when you go 6 out of 23 from three-point range, you're not going to win too many games. That's kind of how it summed up for the Hawks tonight.
Nicely done. See, you cut to the chase. Even though you went 27 of 32, a lot of free throws in this game. 71 total free throws shot. Boo! Pace of play.
Rob Manfred not happy, and I think all of them were by Joel Embiid, because I think he went to the free throw line like 18 times tonight.
You're close. He was at 16.
16,
pretty crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. Rob Manfred, if he was in charge of the NBA, forget it. You know, just be, okay, foul, you know, foul. We give the team 2 points. Let's move on. Like, yeah, foul's now going to be, it's a bucket. It's a bucket. We just give you the points, and we go on. We don't want foul shots anymore.
Well, it depends who it is. How far are they in the league? We'll give you their average. So, if they're a guy that shoots 67%, 2 out of 3 ain't bad. The thing to also underline in this is you got offensive production from Ben Simmons, right? We often talk about his defense, and he moves things but doesn't necessarily fill the box score. 18-4-7 tonight in a +14 performance.
So there it is right there. Sixers up 2-1. We'll have more on this right now. Denver and Phoenix just underway. It is a 3-2 Denver lead. Vinny Castilla with a 3-run homer off of Curt Schilling.
Wow.
To give Denver the lead. Well, you know, it's that thin air. There's going to be home runs. It's
that's good. If Dante Bichette gets involved, all bets are off. Maybe a little Ellis Burks while we're at it.
Oh, Ellis Burks. That's a nice one. Joining us now on the hotline, some people call him the Ellis Burks of Pro Football Hall of Fame voters. He is a Pro Football Hall of Fame voter. He is the editor-in-chief at fansided.com, longtime NFL insider. It is Jason Cole. J. Cole, what's happening?
Oh, life is beautiful. What's going on, guys?
What's up?
Very good. Would you okay with me if you were the Ellis Burks of NFL Pro Football Hall of Fame voters?
I would actually rather be Andre Scalaraga.
Oh, okay. You'd rather be Big Cat. El Grande Gato. Okay. All right.
I saw El Grande Gato hit one into like the third deck at the old Marlins Stadiums or Pro Player Stadium or Dolphin Stadium or Sunshine plus rain and storm and hurricane state, whatever they called that thing. I mean, he hit one like the best part of it. He must have hit that thing about 510 feet, right? It was just a monster shot. And then the old they had TV shot of the old columnist from the Sun Sentinel, like walking around the upper deck. He was the only human to be seen for like 500 yards in any direction, trying to find where the ball was. It was fantastic.
I love it.
All right, so from Andres Galarraga, let's go to Russell Wilson here. Because, you know, yesterday he has the press conferences. Oh, you know, things got a little taken out of context. I didn't mean for things to get...
Quarterbacks are gutless. Quarterbacks are so gutless. They are, oh, love me, love me. Oh, don't hate me, don't... I want to get out, but don't hate me if I ask for a trade. Like, this is the dance that... I mean, Deshaun Watson's doing the same thing. Russell Wilson's doing the same thing. Aaron Rodgers is doing it even worse than all of them. I mean, the best part, I was talking to a guy earlier this week, he's a former NFL quarterback, and he's just laughing because Aaron Rodgers has never taken pictures of himself on vacation around the world. All of a sudden, Mr. Private, like, is sending, like, photos from everywhere. Like, it's Where's Waldo. Aaron Rodgers is Where's Waldo, right? Just taunting Matt LaFleur and Brian Gutekunst. I'm in Tahiti. Oh, now I'm somewhere deeper in the South Pacific. Where could I possibly be? I find me in Belize. Here's me going down the Panama Canal. I'm in the Ukraine. Like,
it might just be one big Discovery Plus show.
Right. Oh, it's absolutely. Aaron Rodgers went from doing Jeopardy to Discovery Channel. It's just, yeah. It's just crazy. But don't hate me. Don't hate me for taunting you. But I'm taunting you, by the way.
He's on Bizarre Foods with Andrew Zimmern. Look, he's eating cockroaches somewhere. I don't even know where it is. Look at him. I can't believe he found him there. There's nobody that lives on that continent.
I am in the mountains of the Sierra Madre with drug runners in Mexico eating cockroaches with Adam Zimmern. Yes.
So tell us the truth. I don't want you to betray your source, but was it Tim Tebow, the former quarterback you were talking to? Was that who it was that told you?
I don't discuss my sources.
Oh, you're right. You would have said former quarterback, current tight end. That's what you would have said if it was Tim Tebow.
Yeah.
My mistake.
Oh,
my
yeah,
mistake.
Because that never would have identified him. I remember arguing with one of my editors one time. He goes, can we call this like a quarterback from the AFC East? What am I going to limit it to, like, 10 guys? Like, what are we doing here? Like, you know, like, how dumb is that? And he goes, well, you kind of got a point. I go, yeah, of course I have a point, you know? Look, aside from you guys being Inspector Clouseau 1 and 2, look, it's the guy who knows Aaron Rodgers and knows him well. Okay, let's just put it that way. And the other part of it is he's just goofing on Aaron Rodgers. He's just looking at this going, this is so much fun. He goes, Matt LaFleur is going absolutely out of his mind because of this. So, yeah, he was very humored by it.
Oh, this is fun, right? And I love the question.
He was smiling from ear to ear. He goes, Aaron is just turning the screws on those guys, just hammering left and right. So he loved it.
Well, and then meanwhile, back at camp, you've got Jordan Love asked, hey, if it came to it week one, would you be ready? I really wish he would have said, nope. I got no clue.
Save me, save me.
like what? You know, we threw the kitchen sink at him. Now is the Matt LaFleur quote? While they're also having press, you know, fan events.
I mean, look. In some ways, and I think Andrew Brandt made this comment, and it's pretty accurate. Is, you know, Aaron Rodgers doesn't need to be at this thing for himself. It's a help to the guys that he works with. Yes. And even those guys are only getting a marginal help. It really is helpful to the Packers and to Jordan Love for, you know, Jordan Love to not have Aaron Rodgers around, not from a psychological standpoint, but just from a responsibility. Like, all eyes are on him. is he doing the work? And how's he responding to this? You know, there's nothing wrong with that for the Packers in his progression. But obviously, you know, the billion-pound gorilla in the room is Aaron Rodgers smiling somewhere in Nova Scotia, right? Like, just taking pictures, taking selfies in Nova Scotia. You know, probably heading down to Cuba, you know, at some point in time. You know, he's probably got a boat going from Nova Scotia straight to Cuba.
So wait, what if I were to blow your mind and say it was all shot with a green screen and he's actually 5 minutes from Packer facilities?
Blown mind. Wow.
So this is a lot of
never left Malibu. He's just sitting there, sitting on a cliff above the waves in Malibu, going, "Oh, let me just mess with them today. Green screen, please."
You know, be even better is if he's doing it. Did you ever see Inside Man?
No, what's that?
Okay, so I'm going to spoil it for you.
Clive Owen's
a bank robber, and what he does is he holds himself up inside the wall of a bank, and he waits for weeks to steal money from the bank. Like, that would be like, what if Aaron Rodgers did that? Like, he's actually in Matt LaFleur's office.
This sounds like Tom Hanks in that movie where he's in the terminal the whole time, right?
The terminal.
Yeah, the terminal.
Hanging out with Stanley Tucci.
I watched that, and I was like, this is really not that interesting. This bank robber thing doesn't sound any better. So
it was actually a really good movie. I mean, you didn't know until, I'm sorry, I just spoiled it for you, but you didn't know until the end, like, he'd hold up in there. So what if, like, that's what Rodgers did? Like, he actually is in Matt LaFleur's office, like, the whole time. And he's just inside the wall paneling.
He's probably in the wall paneling, but he definitely is occupying a gigantic space inside Matt LaFleur's head. That's no question about it.
All right, let me go back.
Roger, get out of my brain.
That was like the guy in the commercial. Let me go back to these fun and exciting mini camps. I understand you've got teams that are fairly well set, said, hey, we made a deal with the veterans, and all right, we'll skip a day here, whatever. I don't understand how Houston ends up just blowing off a week's work.
Well, because they're so incredibly good.
Oh, okay. I must have missed that.
That's a consummate mistake by a coach who is both a rookie, an older guy trying to play nice with the veterans to make friends with them, and doesn't understand he's just going to get run over. So I like Devin Culley, but he's got about – the over-under on him is 19.5 games in the regular season.
So you're giving him this season, and then you bring him back for two games.
No, because you got three preseason games, 17 regular season games.
No. I'm not counting the preseason.
Oh, okay.
I am going 17.5 games, which is probably, if he makes it to year two, he probably makes it to 26. But I don't know that he's going to get out of year two. I mean, or out of year one, let's just say that. You know, look, he's a very nice man. He's never been head coach material. And he got hired because the guys who are in charge there don't know what they're doing. Like, you know, I mean, starting with the owner, just don't know what they're – I mean, the same guy who was laughing about Aaron Rodgers, I asked him about Cal McNair, and he just shook his head. It's just bad.
All right, J. Cole, before I let you go, I'm going to just run through a list of former NFL quarterbacks. It could be who's your source on this Aaron Rodgers thing, and you just tell me yes if I hit on it.
No.
Then why not? Why didn't work? Like, I just get to ask. I'll just ask you.
Here's, look.
Is it Mark Sanchez?
No.
Does he hold an executive title for any NFL team?
No.
Has he led a relentless life?
No.
Is he a Cowboy quarterback who's in the Hall of Fame that you want out of the Hall of Fame?
Yes.
What?
Boom! Well, just like that.
That narrows it down. That's kind of like AFC East quarterbacks. Can we just say an AFC East quarterback? Oh, you can follow on Twitter.
It was at Roger Staubach.
Wow. You can follow on Twitter at JasonCole62. That's at JasonCole62. It was Roger Staubach.
In the kitchen.
Fansided.com, Pro Football Hall of Fame voter. And please pick up his book, Elway, A Relentless Life, available in bookstores everywhere. J. Cole, as always, buddy, appreciate it, my friend. We'll talk to you soon.
Later on, guys.
Be good, man.
That was great stuff, man. That was great stuff. No.
Does it rhyme with?
No. No. No, it's not.
Okay. If I set the over-under on teams that the guy played with during his NFL career at 5. Because we can start getting into a database search there once we start getting into some of those parameters.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike at Swollen Dome. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. Great stuff there from Jason Cole. As always, what a great story, how much he is enjoying turning the screws on Matt LaFleur with all these vacation pictures. I mean, that is, whether it's Geno Smith is his source or not. You know what I mean? Like, that's a great, great story.
Wow, look at that.
It's not Geno Smith. That's a great story from Jason Cole right there. Give you real impact and input and insight as to what's happening right now.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it, you listen to it, I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Oral greatness.
And, you know, last week I told you the Floyd Mayweather, Logan Paul thing wasn't my thing, right? And obviously you saw a fight that was staged for Floyd Mayweather to hold him up. He knocked him out at one point and held him up so they could finish the fight. It's ridiculous.
What an exhibition.
But I told you that there is a big market for celebrity boxing, just something that you want to see results. I don't want to see something that is just fixed, because do I really want to see Floyd Mayweather hold up Logan Paul for 10? I mean, come on. I mean, Floyd Mayweather still thinks people want to see him fight and go, boy, what a great technician he is. No, dude, come on. This is celebrity boxing. We want to see knockouts. We want to see things that happen. Okay? I mean, no one's going to sit back and go, boy, what a great technician he is against that guy on YouTube who's 0-1. I mean, come on. Nobody wants to see that. But there is a big market for celebrity boxing. And case in point is right now, the biggest thing trending in sports on Twitter is Lamar Odom. Why? Because everybody on social media is looking for the link to Lamar Odom's fight tonight against Aaron Carter, which is happening in about 45 minutes. And it's $30 for this fight. It's $30 for the Lamar Odom Aaron Carter fight. But there's a lot of interest.
Are there any Kardashians going to be there to you know, maybe give you some value?
Ooh, I think that would probably be how they would sell it. Potential 0-3 Kardashians.
Right, ready, I mean, for this New York Post headline for this, though?
Go ahead.
The Lamar Odom-Aaron Carter fight heralds the end of civilization.
No. It's just the beginning, man. I'm telling you. Pretty soon, we're going to get to play a celebrity boxing. I would say it would take a little while, like maybe in a year. We'll get to play a celebrity boxing game on the show where I give you the celebrity matchup and you tell me if that was a real fight or not.
Oh, I like.
We're going to get to play that game, but it needs. We need to see things like, hey, it's Greg Brady from the Brady Bunch is going to fight Peter Brady. Whoa, I got to see this. This is going to be awesome.
But we used to get that all the time. Remember, it was, you know, rest his soul, Screech and Bonaducci and all those guys. Todd Bridges getting in the ring.
Yeah, and Mark Paul Gosselaar is going to fight AC Slater. It's going to be great.
Lopez has he actually trains. So I don't know that he gets in.
for the money, isn't it, dude, right for anybody?
Who's got more jobs right now, Seacrest or Lopez? Go.
Oh, man. Wow. Hey, Ryan Seacrest celebrity boxing. That'd be interesting. Ryan Seacrest and Simon Cowell celebrity boxing.
Nice.
I mean, right, I'd like good. To say Brooks Koepka, Bryson DeChambeau. I'd love to see that.
Well, but, you know, that's the fight everybody would like. There's, right. there's
but
no
one of those guys could get hurt and you not be talk, able to golf.
You know what, though? You want to talk about something that's good for golf, and I think they've both kind of admitted it in some interviews, is, you know, this is nice and spicy. I mean, Phil's a nice story. That's great. Tiger, you know, will he ever be able to get back on a course, but making progress, and you see the photos that he's up and walking around. That's good, on crutches. But, yeah, they need some flavor, so some hate watching is always good.
And I'm going to officially take Lamar Odom in this fight because of the reach.
Okay, yeah, I figured that would come in.
I think he's got the reach on Aaron Carter. I think so. I'm going to take Lamar Odom in this. Plus he was an athlete. You know, I'm going to take
Lamar
Odom.
Why is Aaron Carter a deal? What was his deal?
He was a singer. And he's one of the all of his brothers are in the Backstreet Boys. Backstreets, all right.
Oh, 6 degrees of Backstreet. Are they going to perform?
Yes. There you go.
Because that might add some value to that $30.
Twitter it out about a Fresca. Mike at Swollen Dome. Coming up next, boy, do we have a great Russell Wilson hot take coming your way? This is Fox.